for the Agricultural Biotechnology Support Project. And today we are going to have a program that is called the Agricultural Biotechnology Support Project, ABSP2, and Product-Driven Capacity Building for Emerging Markets. ABSP2, as you might guess, is a follow-on of ABSP1, which was initially set up to try to have a way of doing capacity building around product development of biotechnology-enhanced products. There are many cases where breeders are not able to have germplasm with the traits that they need, and the one way to incorporate the traits they need is to do incorporation of new genes from outside of that germplasm. So that's where this project has focused, and along the way work with individuals in developing country organizations to make these things happen. What we are going to hear about today is just a representation of these, an overview, as well as a little bit more details of some. But what we won't have time to spend a lot of time on are all of the different parts that go with this in terms of policy and biosafety. You'll hear a little bit about biosafety today. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about what ABSP2 is, because you're going to hear that during the day. What I would like to do is recognize and introduce Ronnie Kaufman, who is the principal investigator for this project, as well as several others, and I'm not going to go through the long list of what he's done. We don't have time. I think one of the things I'd like to mention, everybody in the room here has access to paper copies, but online are all the same resources, including the speaker biographies. So I invite you to get the information about each speaker looking at that resource. So Ronnie, I'd like to introduce you, and he's going to be the MC for the day. And
thanks, Larry, and good morning to everybody. Thanks to everyone in the room here who's in attendance, and everyone online. Larry's given you a pretty good overview of what ABSP2 is. Just to say it a little, you know, concisely, it's a USAID-funded consortium of public and private sector institutions that supports scientists, regulators, extension workers, farmers, and the general public in developing countries to make informed decisions about agricultural biotechnology. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious to all of us that transgenic technologies are controversial. And when you think about anything controversial, I think it's important to consider how history is going to look at it. That is, how will people, you know, look at it 100 years from now, what we're dealing with today? Generally, those who oppose these technologies like to play on people's fears. They try to scare you into seeing things their way, and today we have some very well-funded people, and we'll talk about that during the communications section, very well-funded people who are trying to do just that. And I don't think history is going to see them in a very favorable light. There's some people who are concerned about large companies taking control of the food system, and they see biotechnology as a part of that phenomenon. Because only large companies can afford to invest in these technologies so far. In fact, this is quite true. You really need a deep pocket if you're going to bring a product to market. So this is where ABSP2 comes in. We're doing our best to make these technologies available through the public system to small-scale producers. This is a project that helps countries develop the capacity to apply these technologies, publicly funded for the public good, with smallholder farmers as the beneficiary. People who are concerned about the influence of large companies should be supporting ABSB2 so that the public sector, small-scale companies, and smaller-scale producers can have access to these beneficial technologies that you're going to hear about today. So today's webinar is a chance for participants to ask questions and clarify any issues. So whether you're present in person or present electronically, we hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity. So our next speaker is Dr. Julie Howard, who's the chief scientist for USDA. She's going to lead off. And Julie, I guess you're supposed to use that microphone up there.
Is this on? Yes.
It doesn't amplify here. It's only for the webinar.
Okay. Sorry.
So you have to speak up loud enough.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see the turnout, and welcome to everybody on the webinar. Ronnie, thanks for the introduction. Again, my name is Julie Howard. I'm the Chief Scientist for the Bureau of Food Security and Senior Advisor to Administrator Shaw for Agricultural Research, Extension, and Education. So I just wanted to take a few minutes of your time to sort of tell you a little bit about why biotechnology and why ABSB2 is important for Feed the Future. I've got 5 points to make. And the first point is I want to back up a little bit and say, well, why is agricultural research important to Feed the Future? Well, I think if you're in the room today or listening in on the webinar, you are probably well aware of the enormity of the challenge we all face. And that challenge is roughly to increase production of basic food crops by 70% over the next 50 years. So that is just, that's incredible. So I think many of us wake up in the morning almost every day sort of thinking about that. How are we going to get from here to there? When you look at the, caveats, I'm an agricultural economist, not a scientist, so don't ask me any breeding questions. Save all those for Ronnie. When you look at the our track record over the past decades, you see a pretty flat trend in terms of what's happened with yields of major staples and what's happened with productivity of animals over the last few decades. So I think as we face the enormity of the challenge, we also sort of realize that it's we're not getting as far and as fast as we need to using conventional techniques. So we in Feed the Future have put research at the center of our portfolio, agricultural research in general. And in fact, we have doubled our expenditures on research over the past 5 years. So we're at roughly $120 million a year for agricultural research. And biotechnology is an important part of that portfolio. Right now, we're at about 10%, possibly a bit more of the portfolio. And that's because we feel like, to use an old expression, we really need to use all the arrows in our quiver to address this issue of doubling, as increasing by 70% agricultural production over the next 50 years. So biotechnology has been important, and what's really incredible about our opportunity today is that we have the opportunity to think about what our investments have done, not just over the past 5 years, but really over the past 20 years, because the U.S. and USAID in particular have been investing. We're early investors in biotechnology, starting, Larry, about 20 years ago. And ABSB2 has been an important partner for the past 10 years. So today we've got an incredible chance to sort of revisit, well, what have those investments brought us, and what's the outlook for the future. So that's the first point, basically the challenge in front of us, the need to see research. Research is central to Feed the Future, and biotechnology and the key role there. Why is biotechnology important, particularly? So, and I know Ronnie and many of you will speak about this today, but an agricultural economist's perspective, we're not only facing this incredible challenge of increasing productivity, we're also facing, you know, a slew of different kinds of challenges that are coming at us fast and furious. So we're seeing very rapid changes in our environment. So we need to develop crops, we need to develop livestock breeds that are tolerant to temperature, that are more efficient in utilizing water. And we also need crops that are more efficient in utilizing scarce resources like nitrogen. So we're seeing biotechnology as a very important tool to sort of short-circuit, to bring forward more quickly the incorporation of some of these traits that we believe are going to be very, very important in meeting the challenges of climate change. And another important aspect of these stresses is with climate change, we're seeing increased outbreaks of pests and diseases. And so also biotechnology presents opportunities to more rapidly incorporate materials and bring about resistance to key pests and diseases. So that's two. A third reason why biotechnology is so important for Feed the Future is really have put a lot of focus not just on production, but we finally learned that you can have a lot of production, but that may not result in improved nutrition for people. So we're almost at the point of equally weighting productivity and the importance of improving nutrition. And again, biotechnology is proving a very, very important tool for us. Through another partner, Harvest Plus, we've been investing in biofortification over the past years. And we're beginning to see now the emergence and the uptake of varieties with elevated areas of elevated levels of zinc and iron and vitamin A that we know to be really critical for human nutrition. And we're beginning to understand that if we don't hit these nutrition targets in the first 1,000 days of life, essentially we are sentencing generations to not only decrease stature, but decreased cognitive ability. So that's three, nutrition. Why ABSP2? Why is ABSP2 an important player for Feed the Future? Well, let me back up again a little bit and say Feed the Future has also sort of put much more focus than ever before on investing in private sector. So we're putting a lot of RFAs on the street. We're putting a lot of reaching out to many private sector companies as important partners for us, especially in the biotechnology world. But we also know that that's not enough, that it's very, very important for us to continue to invest with public sector partners, with U.S. universities, with universities and national agricultural research systems in developing countries. Why? Because we need to hit under research crops that may not be as interesting to the private sector, may not be marketable, as readily marketable, as easily commercializable. So we need that balance, that continued balance of the public sector, continued public sector investment. So we rely on partners like ABSP2 to do that. And also, another key reason, and I will say I'm relatively new in U.S. government, so I've been here over a year, but I've been, of course, involved in food security and agriculture for the past 30 years. I now hesitate to say that number. But as I've looked at how U.S. government and USAID have invested in biotechnology, I've always been very, very proud, you know, because it's been about letting countries make a choice. It's not been about, here's the technology, we need you to take it. It's not been about sort of jamming technology at people. It's been about, first, training. It's been about creating scientific capacity in our partners abroad, and I know you'll hear from a number of those folks that have benefited from training. It's been about building scientific capacity, and it's been about building a regulatory environment in which biotechnology can be safely used if countries choose. So I always think about that as a really important model. I think it's that, you know, we at USAID don't talk about it that much, but I try and talk about it whenever I have the opportunity because I think, you know, it resonates so much with Feed the Future because Feed the Future has put so much focus on responding to country priorities and building country capacity and building the capacity for countries to make the best informed choices, you know, with their own developed human capacity, I think is really speaks to the heart of what Feed the Future is all about. And coming back to why ABSP2 is important, you know, our public sector partners, our U.S. university partners, our partners in developing countries are just absolutely central to building that capacity, to building scientific capacity, to building capacity to commercialize these innovations, and to helping to build this the regulatory capacity. So I'm sorry that I can't stay with you all of today. I wish I could because I think this is going to be just a fascinating discussion. Research takes such a long time, it seems, to come up with results. And so it's rare that we have the opportunity to sit back at this juncture of 10 years and reflect on, well, what is it that we have accomplished? And it's a lot. So anyway, I wish you good discussions. I'm really pleased that we're having this event. And thank you all for participating.